Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 10th of March, 2020, Tuesday class. So we will get ready for puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop our faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated and turn to page 1 of our chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sura Meraya Maja Pama Datana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja offerings of light. Ganna Sarappa Dithena Dipena Tamadang Sena Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang. Ganda Sambarayutena Dopenahang Suganghina
Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja baca namutamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi bedang kusumena nena Punena matena cehotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anum kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang.
Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools us and doses of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. Constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Gem. Vedang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. Before we do that, just a small announcement. There's a sanitizer on the black chair in front there. So just in case you want to clean up your hand, you can do it. So we also try to develop some self hygiene. Then early on, for those who turn up late, don't off all the light first. This is our new book, second edition of the Heart Sutta. It's golden yellow. This is the color of enlightenment. So this golden hue is a better color. The back also very nice. So you'll be having this. Hopefully this edition will bring forth the wisdom light for all Kayamita. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When you look at the photo, you will really love it. For this, you should thank Christy and Jin Hao and Brother Teo. They take the trouble to go and look for this image. Then Christy, I don't know how she do, she sharpen it until very sharp. Where is Christy? Ah, late, never mind. Still in the office. So we should thank them by saying the usual rejoicing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then in view of the increasing COVID-19 overseas, and also our country, it's better to take precaution. If you go out to crowded places, you try to wear your mask if you can. Then the other thing is, Dr. Jayanta and Ananda has so kindly volunteered to donate this vaccine. It's very simple and very easy to take. It seems it will boost your immunity and it will protect you for 1 month. 1 month is very critical now. So if you want the vaccine, you can contact either Dr. Jayanta or this Ananda. Ananda, you have any in your car?
Not my car.
Oh, not your car. You have to look for the box. Never mind, next time. Maybe Thursday class you bring some. So that I can help the Tuesday class to take for them. So those who stay near my place, you can come and collect. You only have to take it for 3 days continuous. And it's very easy. It's a small tablet that will dissolve underneath your tongue. You will just put under your tongue early morning after you wake up. You want to brush your teeth also can. After that only you take. After you take, you let it melt underneath your tongue. Then I think in less than 2-3 minutes it should melt. Then after that, maybe wait for another 1-2 minutes. You can have your breakfast. Do it for 3 days. Then it will protect you for 1 month. So that is just an extra protection. Nowadays you never know. When we go out, not everybody show the symptom. They show later. So it seems you look at Korea, South Korea, Italy, Iran. Today I heard North Korea also a lot. They don't have facility. A lot die, you know, in North Korea. And the army, it seems they were told to incinerate or burn the thing. Not enough incinerator to burn. So many cases. So those countries are less fortunate. At least Malaysia record still good. Nobody died. Touch wood. So this one is just for your own information. We also need to play our part. Because our retreat to Cameron, in view of their concern, Fazan Supu and the temple committee, they told us the monks, the nuns and the people there, they are also worried. So they have cancelled a lot of their Fahui and their other program too. Then they were so kind, they didn't instruct us to cancel. They write in a very nice way through Teng Siong Supu. He said, "Dear Brother Teo, Sui An and my wife, Fazan Sufu advised you all to look at the possibility of postponing it. So when I consider it, I say we are using people's place, so it's better for us to obey their concern. Otherwise, it's not so good. So condition like that, things be like that. So we accord and flow. So when I told Sri Ayan go ahead, then he sent me a draft. I edit a little bit, then we send out. Wow, everybody was so happy. Like a great relief. But it could be a blessing in disguise. Because a lot of things in life, when you expect certain thing or when you want certain thing, then that certain thing didn't materialize. What was your first reaction? Especially those who are looking forward to the retreat, because this is the first time they are going, and some are very motivated because they know this year one is going to be different. So how you feel when you heard about the cancellation? Of course, those who are concerned about their health, they all sadhu first. They were very happy. But some are quite concerned about the cancellation. But it's not cancer. You move forward. So the window is not confirmed yet. July. Is it okay? July. Hopefully this thing will be over by then. Yeah, that is the window that we have. Because Sri Ayan will be away in between, before and after. So that period, and so happened the temple calendar for that period also available for us. So that is the window. We see how it goes. Then we will let you know. The other thing is, I say it's a blessing in disguise, because we expect to go there, the retreat, full time, go through the whole thing, then you learn. But sometimes because of condition, the retreat postponed, if you don't perceive it with negativity, then you will come to understand why the world is the world. Thing is just the way it is. So you can perceive every event the same. You develop wisdom. Don't have to like, I look forward to this retreat, suddenly cancel. Well, the way I perceive it is different, blessing in disguise. To me, condition like that, things will be like that, cannot be otherwise. So no need to happy or unhappy or become excited or miserable. So what you should reflect on is understand the condition behind. Well, this one is beyond the temple and beyond us, and is for the good of the many. We are people may not understand. But initially I have this thought. I was thinking we take Dr. Jayanta's vaccine, we go out, we very safe. Then for the whole week we up there, we also very safe because we don't mix around. We only limit our risk to the participant. And the participant, we are going to mention, you got any fever, headache, flu, don't come. Stay at home. Listen to the recording. But because of circumstances, they are concerned. So we have to take all this into consideration. That's why I need to let Kayamita understand. Not that I want to cancel. My nature also like you all. I know this will help many people. But it can turn out to be a blessing in disguise, because I realize since it already happened and our heart sutta book, we don't have to hurry. So we will get this book first. Then we get ourselves vaccine. Then our Tuesday class, Thursday class can continue for at least 1 month. Very safe. So don't worry. And I can teach the heart sutta. When I teach here, then by July, let's say the condition is available, by that time you go out, I tell you, you will understand a lot more. So don't perceive it with negativity or unhappiness. Everything has a reason. So if you perceive it with understanding, wholesomeness, it will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. So with that, we can start our meditation. Okay, off the light. I still give you half an hour, don't worry. I won't take away your meditation time. Okay. Maybe I give you another 20 minutes. Okay. Off the light. Okay, those who already know how to meditate, you proceed. For those who still need to, maybe train your mind or develop the skillful means to help you develop the inner awareness or spiritual calmness and peacefulness, you can use whatever skillful means that you are familiar with. You can use Mind Sweeping Method combined with Metta. Otherwise, the most straightforward one is, like I share with you via the unique code. Your natural state of mind is already the meditative state. That is your true mind. Without thought, is already in that state. So what you need to do is relax, silent, maintain awareness, and let the mundane mind or thinking mind slow down until it becomes required. Then the moment it becomes required and still, you will realize your true mind. That is your meditative mind. Then you stabilize it. Then your meditation will set in and you will develop it very easily. And this is the most fastest way to develop it. Easiest and fastest. Technically, the real meditation is not to do anything. But the doing is always by the thought. So you just let things be, relax and maintain awareness. Be an observer. So, silent mind. Silently observe without reaction. Choiceless awareness, just no need to stir your mind, no need to comment, no need to chatter, no need to do anything, just observe without perception, just aware. Then the mind will settle down. Then you will experience the shift of consciousness when the thinking mind no longer moves. Sankhara activity cease. You will realize the tranquility, the stillness, and the silence within your mind state. And that is your true mind. That is your self, nature, true nature. So realize that. Then continue to relax, maintain awareness, and silence everything. Then you will become very beautiful. After that, that silent mind or meditative mind or your true mind, it will understand a lot of things. Then you can understand how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? And how your physical body with the senses, the six senses, how they arise and pass away. How consciousness come to be, then what happened after that. How your mundane mind, with its views, opinion and conditioning, input the content of consciousness. Then how it conditions you to stir and react to sense experience. You will see them. You will witness them. Then all the essential Dhamma, you can also witness them, see them. That's why the power of observation through mindfulness or awareness is very powerful. They call it the power of awareness or mindfulness. To be mindful is just to be aware without thought. So this is observation, observing without reaction or command. Just observe to see things as they are, to awaken, to realize the truth. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then, when the 20 minutes is up, the alarm will ring. Okay. You all can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. And try to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner mindfulness, and the inner peace that you have developed for as long as you can. And the most important aspect of meditation is to silence your mind, maintain awareness for as long as you can, until this mind enters sati. Then when your mind enters sati, your daily mindfulness will stabilize. Then you can really develop the understanding and the wisdom. So ultimately it's a stability of daily mindfulness to help you develop the understanding. Sati sampajana, or mindfulness and clear comprehension, is very important. Okay, now we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu deyata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachatang veditabo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato savakasango ujupatipano bhagavato savakasango nyayapatipano bhagavato savakasango samichipatipano bhagavato savakasango yadidang chatari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punya ketang Loka sati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Petang pujeme. Damang pujeme. Sanghang pujeme. Okay, you all can be seated. We will continue from where we stop. We are at a new chapter, chapter 44, the problems of life. So chapter 44 is on page 659, page 659, the problems of life. Who, friends, whither, why, what, are some important problems that affect all humanity. So these are the questions that people find very difficult to develop the understanding. But his English is funnier. Who is man? Is our first question. Why man, no woman? Let us proceed with what is self-evident and perceptible to all. In fact, a better question should be, who is this human being all about? It's just like self-knowledge. We have to inquire and ask ourselves. Like when I was, I think, 16 or 17 years old, I remember, I started looking at the sky, into the vast universe, the star system, everything. Where I lie at night, go to the open field, lie down, then facing the sky, looking at all the stars. Then I inquire. I say, the universe is so immense. Each and every star is a potential sun like us. Some bigger, some smaller. Then the universe is expanding without frontier. And scientists have probed 16 billion light years, still no end to the boundary. So we are limited by what our instrument can show us. So at that time, I have this inquiry question. Inside, deep inside, I ask myself this question. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing in this planet or this universe? So all these questions starts to like surface from my nature. Then suddenly the answer come out from inside. He said, you have to meditate to understand. Oh, very funny. That time I was only 1971, I think. 70 years old, 16 plus to 70. Then, because of that answer, my nature becomes satisfied. I say, yeah, I must meditate. But I don't know what is meditation, because I never learned, nobody taught me. So I just leave it as that. Because I remember, when I was young, I like to see this swordsmanship type of cinema show. And I like those ancient sage who sit in the cave and meditate on. Then there was one famous one, Xian He Shen Zhen, I remember. He is the heron, Xian is the you call one as Xian. Xian is enlightened being. Sane, enlightened being are called Sane, Xian. So that heron, it seems, is sagely. Then the old master, the sage, will go on the heron and the heron will fly him around. And he has special ability because he meditates. He can understand a lot of things, and of course he has great kung fu. So when I was young, I was fascinated by that sitting posture inside the cave. So I thought that was meditation. But I don't know what they are doing down there until later when I grew up. That's why a lot of things is from your past cultivation, your past karmic inheritance. Without that, all this cannot happen. So when I inquire, when I probe, I was looking for truth, for answer, but I can't find. Then we have one group of classmates, five of us. These other four also crazy people. I think also nothing to do, one like me, wants to go and seek truth. They also don't know what they are seeking, but they started off by saying we go to all the religion. So we went to Christianity, we went to the Hindu temple, then we even went to Baha'i, then we even went to the Muslim mosque and all the various religious places. But they never go to Buddhist temple. None of us believe in what we saw, what our parents are doing, making offering, then can negotiate and bargain. So I tell myself, if there is Buddhism, forget about it. Then later on, luckily, I received one book when I was in Lower Six, 1 year later. 1971, I was in Form 5. So that book was the first edition of What Buddhists Believe by Chief Reverend Kesari Damananda. I remember that book, thin first edition, red color. So I flicked through. The first chapter explained to me very clearly that what my mother was doing was not Buddhism. That is Chinese tradition, Chinese belief. Wow, my heart full of joy. Then I want to know what is Buddhism. Then I turned on, then I saw that page where Chief Reverend explained the Four Noble Truths. Actually, he didn't explain, he just wrote it on the book, The Four Noble Truths. But the moment I read The Four Noble Truths, very straight, deep inside my heart, that's it. No need to search anymore. This is the one. Nobody can summarize all his understanding into just four beautiful truths, The Four Noble Truths. Then later on, after I have the understanding, then I realize it is called Noble Truth because when you understand this truth, you become noble ones. You become enlightened one. So from the teaching, I came to understand all the question and inquiry that I had when I was in Form 5. That's why all this answer can be answered by the teaching. And the Buddha's teaching is very profound. The Four Noble Truths itself can summarize to us all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. So the first noble truth is the noble truth of dukkha, or what they call suffering, unsatisfactory nature of human existence, which is the title of the chapter we are going to discuss, the problems of life. So the Buddha, under the first noble truth, proclaimed that there are eight conditions within life. If you live life long enough, you have to confront all these eight realities or conditions. And when you confront them without understanding, you will suffer, you will become afflicted, you will become miserable. That is what the teaching is all about. So the first noble truth explained to us the prevalence of suffering, the prevalence of unsatisfactoriness of human life. Then these eight conditions, they cover all aspects of human life. The first four is easy to understand. Birth, old age, sickness and death. As Chinese, we always have this mentioned to us. But most Chinese, they got a lot of wrong view. They very pantang. When you talk about these four things, you say, chui, 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 you got nothing better to say. Talk about sick, getting old and die. So they don't like this type of words. But the reality is, this is something that you will have to confront when you go through life. And when you don't develop the understanding early, when you are confronted with it, it's too late. You will be afflicted. You become miserable. So why not learn about it? Understand it. Be observant in life. Look at life sincerely, earnestly. Develop the clear understanding. So that when you go through life, you don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to be afflicted by all these things anymore. There is wisdom in all this. That's why the Buddha's teaching, they are all linked, related. The five daily contemplation teach you how to reflect, how to contemplate, and how to understand the unreality of this form. Because our physical body, the Buddha say, goes the way of nature. It does not belong to us. It is not self, because it tends towards suffering. So this reality is very important. That's why the first three contemplation, the Buddha say, reflect and contemplate. This body of ours, he's referring to the five aggregate of form and mind, is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. This one is very penetrative, very deep understanding. Means this body is not self. If it's self, it will listen to you. It will not tend towards old age, sickness and death. You can tell this body, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. But it never listen to you. You want to get sick, it never tell you. It don't have to get permission from you. Then you like it or you don't like it, you will grow old. And finally, you will succumb to death. So no matter how well you maintain, take care, or put ICI, it will still decay, grow old, and finally deteriorate, and it will succumb to death. So when you understand, when you confront old age, sickness and death, you will not be afflicted, because you know this body goes the way of nature. It is not self, it's not you, because this one is non-self. So this understanding is very important. Then you move on to the fourth contemplation, about possession, about craving, about attachment. He said, whatever you think you own, your loved one, your prized possession, your property, your wealth, and your reputation, or whatever you hold on to dearly, thinking that you own them, they are of the nature to arise and of the nature to cease. When condition is there for you to have them, it appears like you own. But because these are impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, it will separate from you one day. So separation is a reality. Separation means if your breath stops, your identity erased, you cannot own anything. Where you cease to be. So it will separate from you. Sometimes your breath didn't stop, but because of certain crisis or certain reason, like economic crisis, or now is COVID-19 crisis. Then recently is the trade war, economic crisis. Then yesterday, we had the oil crisis. Middle East, the Saudi, OPEC, they fight with Russia. Both also refuse to give in. So what happened? Huh? They go all out and produce, pump more oil. And when the news go out, crude oil plunge more than $10 a barrel just within that moment until it hit $31. And do you know what is the consequence of that action? When oil price suddenly crashed, that all the oil and gas related company will be in cash flow problem. Do you understand? Yeah? The only the consumer receive cheaper oil. But a lot of producer whose cost is high, they lose money. Especially shale oil. Their production cost is higher. Then not only that, once they get into trouble, all the supporting industry that do all the drilling and all those things, all the seismic work and all related industry, all is our job. Because no oil price, no investor, no job. So they foresee a very severe effect, slowdown. And the worst is, a lot of banks do financing, and finance all these projects. If this company are affected, the bank also NPL. That's why the sell down was like no eye to see, bloodbath everywhere. And yesterday we already crashed, actually the whole world crashed in anticipation for what happened. Then you know what happened? After yesterday market over, crash already, down zone open. Our time 9:30 PM. Within 10 minutes, circuit breaker trigger. Do you know what is circuit breaker trigger or not? The whole market crashed more than 7%. It hit beyond 1,008 point drop. Straight away the market stopped. No more trading for 15 minutes until you become sober. How can you have sober mind when the thing happened? Within this 15 minutes, everybody will spread rumor. You haven't sold, you haven't sold. Die already, the crash is here. You better run. So after 15 minutes, crash support. But luckily, buyer come back. I don't know who buy. I suspect Trump and gang buy. Because they're very scared. The market crash, bad for him. He has been posting about down all-time high. So when that thing happened, there was a lot of panic. So everybody who is in the investment industry, unless they have the understanding and the Dhamma, all panic. A lot of people call me, but you how? I say how? Things will be just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. Why you panic? There is opportunity in crisis. Why don't you look at it from the positive aspect? Crisis time only you can buy cheap things, isn't it? Cheap sale is when there is a crisis. But when you chase after stock during good time, you are looking for trouble. Good time, you should sell. Then accumulate cash, so during crisis, take the cash and buy. Or otherwise, good time, the FD rate very high, lock into FD, risk-free, save. Then now FD rate, OPR, ours don't call Fed rate, ours is a central bank, overnight operation rate, I think. Keep on cutting, cut until I think not much more to cut. Now it's only left with 2.5 OPR. So every time it cut, the interest rate becomes lower. So today, nowadays, I was told Maybank FD give you 2.5% even for 1 year. So if you are a pensioner, you will be hit. But luckily, the share price offers 7.6% dividend yield. So because of all this, if you don't know how to move your money, you will be caught. So So what happened was, they panicked that the bank will collapse, suffer. So the sell down was very bad. So the Dow actually, after a while, recovered to 1,004 something, 1,005. Still down, red. But towards the end, another wave of selling, bring it down to 2,000 over point. One night, crash 2,000 over point. You know, that was almost 8-9%. And that is really record. Because normally 1,000 point already very serious. This is 2,000 over point. So everybody thought the market will be another Mexico. You know what is Mexico? Blah blah, sea of red. Then I think I was in the office earlier on with my daughter yesterday. There is a Teo Chunang. Who is Teo Chunang? Nobody Teo Chunang. Oh, two. Ang Ang Bo Hai Nang. You heard of that? Means everything red. Red means very severe drop. But China obviously, no. Red means up, no. They all terbalik. So you go China, you see the screen green, don't be happy. It's all drop. Here, green, good sign. So different country, different tradition, different convention, they behave differently. So while everybody was so pessimistic, actually before the night end, my wife was looking at all this WhatsApp. I say, you still look. You don't know what happened to the world market. Then when I text him that thing, the crash down the circuit, he say, on the TV. So open channel 518, 519. Wow, the news. Everybody panic. The whole lockdown. Then there were a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. Then they say, hopefully our Mr. President Trump do something. Everybody expect him to do something. COVID-19, he also didn't do anything. Until the country now panic, not enough test kit, not enough hospital. China, good news. The hospital has closed down so many, you know, they built within 8 days. Then the 12 unit of warehouse they put as temporary hospital, all closed. No need already. No more new cases. Contained. But overseas come back one, not contained. So now it's the opposite. Last time they laugh at China. Now they only know how great China is. They can lock down the whole city or 18 million. So now Italy found it not easy. So they learn like China. Now one city not enough. They lock down the whole country. Do you know? Italy, whole country locked down. Whole country. They said no other choice. The health minister come out. What is it? No, the whole country. The news just came out. The Italian prime minister say, I got no choice. You all cannot travel. Cannot go in, cannot come out. At first it was southern Italy, Milan. Northern. Milan, Venice, and another Trinity, I don't know what. After that, it seems Italian are very good at traveling. Everywhere, whole country also got. So they got not enough manpower to trace. Once they tested one positive, they asked him, where have you been? Oh, he say, I have been all. So now they have to lock down the whole country. So this is so bad. That's why just now I teach you how to keep yourself equipped. Hygiene is one thing. Have enough rest. Have enough vitamins or medication. The best is the free Dr. Jayanta and Ananda on the vaccine. Proven, very good. Last 1 month. And it's so easy to take. And we should thank them for giving us free. So how many of you, sadhu, how many of you want, you better let me know. Thursday class, I will go there and collect. Put up your hand, or text me. Sui An order 100. So I say Tuesday class 30 and on. Tuesday class. We assume all here.
Ananda already have. Myself, my wife, and my daughter already have. So no need. The rest, I will try to get about 30 for you.
Tammy also can go and collect Thursday class. Those go in Thursday class can collect separately. And you can collect for your friend if they stay near your place. Otherwise, I will collect for Tuesday class. You take that one for 3 days, you got immunity for 30 days. That one, even if you got no disease or what, it boosts your immune system. It's a very good vaccine. It's against flu and all those things. And it's very easy. Put underneath your tongue. Let it melt. But must be empty stomach when you wake up. After you brush your teeth. Then I think within 2 minutes or so, it will melt. Then take for 3 days. So the good news is, after it crashed 2,000 over point, everybody expect market die already. Then I was having my breakfast, then I on my phone apps. Hey, I told my wife, how come KLSE Boleh so strong? Dropped 2 points on it. Then after that, went up 15 over point, close 16 points. Oh, Maybank all went up. Malaysia Boleh. But actually the whole world recover. You know why? Oil price, suddenly some buyer come from 31 up to 36. Straight away, wow, the whole market bullish. China buy cheap. Then they stock up their stock idea. All these people got motive. When they want the oil to crash, they chohe. OPEC and Russia say, no deal. Let it crash first. Oh, then all the airline go and book the oil. China book the oil. Everybody book the oil. Then go up. So within a few minutes, you make big money. You don't know how to play oil future. Oh, oil future, very good money. One barrel. You know, one barrel is how much? You don't know. One barrel is 400 over liter, I think. 400 over liter. That petrol, 1 gallon, they go by gallon. 1 gallon is how many liter? 4.56 liter, if my science is still correct. So you see, if it's US $60 last time, you times 1 barrel is 40 over gallon, 40 gallon, I don't know what, I forgot already. So actually every barrel you pump is a lot of money, you know. So if you short or you buy long, every US dollar you make a lot of money, you know, if you buy a sizable amount. So that one futures, but don't go and try. Yeah, you get burned until you don't know. Hangus also you don't know. Yeah, you are not familiar with the market force, you cannot. Unless you are good, you are knowledgeable in that field. So whatever was today, the whole world market recover, turn around. So they expect Dow Jones today to also recover. But tonight still don't know yet. The night is still young. We have to wait till 9:30 just started. 9:37. So you cannot predict things unless you are very good at it. So what I'm trying to share with you is, no matter what happened, don't panic. Understand? No amount of panic and fear will help you. Understand the Buddha's teaching. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Understand? So whatever happened is the reality. Causes and conditions like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise.
If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. You become afflicted because you cannot get what you want. And you have to check. Because most people suffer because of that. They only want good thing, positive thing, market every day up. Where got such thing one? The English also got a saying that what goes up must come down. Where got every day up? So, Dhamma is something you can learn and develop through understanding. Then you will not panic like normal people. Then you have to understand whatever you are interested in. If you want to be good in investment, you have to develop the investment understanding and the skill. You want to be good in Dhamma, in meditation, you also have to develop the understanding and the skill. There is no two way about it. Unless you understand, you cannot do well. You can only do well when you understand. And when you understand means you have wisdom, not knowledge. Knowledge will not help you. Knowledge will make you rigid. And will make you make mistakes. Wisdom is not rigid. So a lot of this understanding from the Dhamma you can apply to life. Then you can have the good life. That's what the teaching is all about. Develop wisdom, understanding. Take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. Okay, with this understanding we can go into the topic now. So the author says, let us proceed with what is self-evident and perceptible to all. Man possesses a body which is seen either by our senses or by means of apparatus. This material body consists of forces and qualities which are in a state of constant flux. Scientists find it difficult to define what matter is. Certain philosophers define matter as that in which proceed the changes called motion, and motion as those changes which proceed in matter. You look at note 1. I also don't know what that word is. Auspenskaya. The term. Organum. I also cannot understand. Some on page 8. Never mind. What actually he is trying to explain to you is the four elements. Do you understand? And the Buddha actually simplified the teaching for us. Yeah. Maybe I use the whiteboard. During the time of the Buddha, there is no scientific teaching. Yeah? So he simplified everything. He said our human body. Or we call it the physical body. Yeah? Body. Consists of four elements. And our Chinese culture also use this teaching. Yeah. We call it Feng Shui Fo Tu, the four elements. So the four elements are the wind element, the wind elements, water element. Wind. I better write here. Wind. Then earth.
water, and the last one is heat, heat elements. Actually, this is a very wise way of defining it. So wind element, not just the wind blowing. You look at our human body, there are a lot of wind elements within our body. What are the wind elements? To support your spinal cord, you need that wind element. Then also your breathing, your breath is wind element. Your heartbeat, your pulse of life, these are all the wind elements. Whatever that has motion, you can follow. Whatever that has motion is wind element. So without the wind element, there are a lot of things we cannot do. Like the air we breathe, means you can actually draw on the nature's energy, prajna, they call it prajna, or the oxygen, or the chi. Through your breathing, you can actually draw them. Then sometimes through your hand, because these are like antenna sensitive, you can draw. Then like when you meditate, all these points, they will open up. Then you can radiate energy out. Then you can receive energy. Your heart area, you can draw. You become sensitive and all those things. But there are two types of energy here. One is psychic energy and one is wisdom energy. Make sure you draw wisdom energy. Don't go and draw psychic energy. Then, third element is solidity. So this wind element is, like I mentioned just now, whatever they have motion, motion. So this one is solidity. Whatever that is solid, like our bones, our flesh, all the solid part within, they are called earth element. Then water, of course, you know, liquid. Liquid or cohesion. Cohesion means whatever that is sticky, like your urine, your blood, your mucus, then those liquid part. Then last one is heat. Heat, you know, heat, the word itself is very easy to understand. So without this four element, you cannot have a proper body. Then these four elements must be in a state of balance. Otherwise you get into trouble. Our body maintains a specific optimal heat. We call it 98.4 degrees Fahrenheit. Or in Celsius is about 37 degrees Celsius. Or 37.4, I forgot already. If you are out of that optimal temperature, you will develop, most of the time, is fever. But I haven't heard of body temperature fall below the normal temperature. You have heard of it, right? Seldom. Normally, it's fever. When you are in a cold country, that time maybe your temperature will fall. But that one also not good sign. Then that one you have to wear warm clothing. Well, now there's a lot of new product on warm clothing. Very effective now. Light and thin, and yet very, very comfortable. Last time, you wear the warm clothing like Eskimo. You skinny also become fat. Now no need. So these four elements, they are very useful. So you need to understand, with the four elements, you can describe most things. But
modern day scientists, they are more smart. We study physics, we study chemistry. This earth element alone, they divide into how many elements? Remember? Chemistry, you got this chart, element chart. What? Periodic table, yes. And there are so many elements though. During my time also quite a lot already. Now they found a lot of new element, more fantastic element. But I remember is carbon. Carbon is a very unique one. Carbon 6. How many of you are science students? Oh, not bad. Then oxygen is what? 16. Not 8. Oxygen is 8, I think. O2, that's why it becomes 16. Hydrogen? Never mind. No need to remember. I only remember one, vanadium. 21. Why? Because we are boy very naughty. We want to know the shape. 21 is what? Element. So they go and look at the periodic table. Oh, vanadium coming, they say. You know what is the meaning? The one that got 21 on the waist on coming. So sometimes they give them name. This one is Miss Vanadium. But the fatty one, very high number. So these four elements is what the author is trying to explain to you. So if we examine the human being, the human body or the physical body, you will realize you have these four elements. And the four elements are very, very useful. Like I said, they must harmonize. And this is a skillful way of actually defining things in a very simple way. So during the early days, I remember, when I was studying Abhidhamma, I read the book. I said, funny, why the Buddha teach only four elements? In school, chemistry, I got so many elements. Then later on, only I came to realize why the Buddha was so wise. But during that time, he went and teach all the elements. I tell you, nobody attend your class. Four elements, very simple. Everybody come to your class. So, even like the wind element within the body, very few people can notice that until the Buddha explained. Then the cohesion, the water element, that liquidity, the sticky part. Then we study about surface tension and all those things. All this is because of water element. Then earth element we understand. So these four simplify the understanding. So from there, the author tried to explain. But I think he put it in a very confusing manner. That's why not easy to follow. Anyway, I read on. The Pali term for matter is rupa. It is explained as that which changes or disintegrates, that which manifests itself is also another explanation. This one is the four element. According to Buddhism, there are four fundamental elements. They are Patavi. Patavi is earth element. Apo is water element. Tejo is heat element. Vayu is wind. So we have Patavi, Apo, Tejo, and Vayu. So this Pali word I don't have to remember because I look at it. It become very familiar to me. Patavi, you know, the word itself, the pronunciation, very hard one. Earth element. Apo is like water. Then Tejo is heat, related to heat. Vayu, also very easy, like the wind. Vayu. That's why the Pali description, Vayu Vaya Sankara. Patavi means the elements are extension, the substratum of matter. Without it, object cannot occupy space. The qualities of hardness and softness, which are purely relative, are two conditions for this element. Actually, it should be solidity. Solidity. Whether it's hard or soft is not important, as long as it can remain as a solid thing. This element or extension is present in earth, water, fire, and air. Sometimes heat element they call fire, fire element. For instance, the water extension in, the water above is supported by water below. It is this element or extension in conjunction with the elements of motion, vayu, that produces the upward pressure. Heat, hot or cold, is the tejo element, which fluidity is the apo element. Apo is the element of cohesion. Unlike padavi, it is intangible. It is this element which enables the scattered atoms of matter to cohere and thus give us the idea of a body. Tejo is the element of heat. Cold is also a form of tejo. Both heat and cold are included in tejo, where they possess the power of maturing bodies, or in other words, the vitalizing energy. Preservation and decay are due to this element. Vayu is the element of motion or wind element. The movement are caused by this element. Motion is regarded as the force or the generator of heat. Both motion and heat in the matter realm correspond relatively to consciousness and karma in the mental. So this is something related, but the author didn't make it clear, because consciousness actually is energy, isn't it? That's why form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. So matter is actually energy. Do you realize? E equals the mc squared. Einstein proved it. So when we talk about matter, matter is trapped energy. Do you understand? Because this matter has a mass. Energy is mc squared. You know what is c? C is the speed of light. M is the mass. So the mass times the square or the speed of light is the energy that the trapped matter can release. Do you know how big the figure C is, speed of light? 186,000 miles per second. So if you reduce the miles to meter, you know how big that number is. And you square of that number, that is the amount of energy that it releases. That's how you can develop nuclear bomb. Atomic bomb is considered very small. Nuclear bomb is the one really that can lead to nuclear. They call it the nuclear energy, which is very immense. So trapped energy is what matter is all about. So if you know science, you know how to inter-transform them, then you will know how to release all this energy. That's how the nuclear bomb, neutron bomb, and various type of destructive weapon, they are based on this scientific knowledge or technology. They came out with this uranium isotope. Then when you allow the critical mass to actually come together, then they will trigger off a nuclear reaction which is unending. That's why it will release that nuclear energy. So scientists came to know about that. Then they have to convert it into something that they can really develop. So in the 1940 something, World War II, remember? US got no choice to stop Japan. They have to use that tool. That time was very primitive, atomic bomb only. Hiroshima and Nagasaki. After they dropped that tool, Japan surrendered. The Japanese, the soldiers were told they will never surrender. They will always conquer. But after that, the emperor, I think he surrendered. When he saw the amount of destruction. And that was just an atomic bomb. To the scale of modern civilization, that one is like a small fart. Now the real one, not only city, your whole country can be blown off. Then they came out with this neutron bomb, crazy one. You know what is a neutron bomb? When they release, all your building intact one, but all the human being die. All the one have life, one will die. Oh, this type of bomb also they can go and create. That's why a human being, I tell you, they are the too extreme. If they direct their mind towards goodness or wholesomeness, it can be very beneficial to mankind. But if they direct it to the negative part, I tell you, it's very destructive. That's why you can either save the world or destroy the world. And to destroy the world is very easy. You only need one or two mech guy. And nowadays, this type of knowledge is so easy to get. They say you can go to the internet or computer and learn how to make bomb. Home make bomb also have. That's why a lot of bomb technology come out. Okay, we go on. So consciousness, of course, is related to karma. So consciousness and karma actually created the world and the existence. The phenomenal world of consciousness can transform into elements because the energy, they are inter-transformable. Energy actually is mass. Mass and energy is the same. That's why we call it matter. Matter is trapped energy. These four powerful forces are inseparable and interrelated. But one element may preponderate over another. As for instance, the element of extension preponderates in earth, cohesion in water, heat in fire, and motion in air. Thus, matter consists of forces and qualities which constantly change, not remaining the same even for two consecutive moments. According to Buddhism, matter endures only for 17 thought moments. At the moment of birth, according to biology, man inherits from his parents an infinite small minute cell 300 million of a part of an inch across. In the course of 9 months, this speck grew into a living bulb 15 million times greater than it was at outset. This tiny chemical physical cell is the physical foundation of man. According to Buddhism, sex is also determined at the moment of conception. Combined with matter, there is another important factor in this complex machinery of man. It is the mind. As such, it pleases some learned writer to say that man is not mind plus body, but is a mind-body. Scientists declare that life emerges from matter and mind from life, but they do not give us a satisfactory explanation with regards to the development of the mind. Unlike the material body, immaterial mind is invisible, but it could be sensed directly. An old couplet runs, what is mine, not matter. What is matter, never mind. So this one is a pun. We are aware of our thoughts and feelings and so forth by direct sensation, and we infer their existence in others by analogy. There are several Pali terms for mind: mana, citta, vijnana. Should be mano. Mano. The first one should be mano. Is it my eye cannot see correctly? Is it mano or mana? Double. Oh, they wrote as mana. It should be mano. Compare the Pali root man to think with the English word man and the Pali word manusa. Remind us of Bahasa Malaysia, manusia, manusa. Our Bahasa Malaysia comes from Sanskrit. This is a Sanskrit word, which means he who has a developed consciousness. In Buddhism, no distinction is made between mind and consciousness. Both are used as synonymous terms. Mind may be defined as simply the awareness of an object. Since there is no agent or soul that directs all activity, it consists of fleeting mental states which constantly arise and perish with lightning rapidity, with birth for its source and death for its mouth. It persistently flows on like a river receiving from the tributary streams of sense constant accretion to its flood. Each momentary consciousness of this ever-changing life stream, on passing away, transmits its whole energy, all the indelibly recorded impression to its successor. Every fresh consciousness therefore consists of the potentiality of its predecessor and something more. As all impressions are indelibly recorded in this ever-changing palisade-like mind, and as all potentiality are transmitted from life to life, irrespective of temporary physical disintegration, reminiscence of past birth or past incident becomes a probability. If memory develops solely on brain cell, it becomes an impossibility. Like electricity, mind is both a constructive and destructive powerful force. Oh, he also know. It's like a double-edged weapon that can equally be used either for good or evil. One single thought that arises in this invisible mind can even save or destroy the world. One such thought can either populate or depopulate a whole country. It is mind that creates one's heaven. It is also mind that creates one's hell. Ospensky wrote or writes, concerning the latent energy contained in the phenomena of consciousness that is in thought, feeling, desire, we discover that its potentiality is even more immeasurable, more boundless. From personal experience, from observation, from history, we know that ideas, feeling, desire manifesting themselves can liberate enormous quantity of energy and create infinite series of phenomena. An idea can act for centuries and millennium and only grow and deepen, evolve ever new series of phenomena, liberating ever fresh energy. We know that thought continues to live and act when even the very name of the man who created them has been converted into a myth. Like the name of the founders of all ancient religion, the creators of the immortal poetical work of antiquity, heroes, leaders, and prophets, their words are repeated by innumerable lips their ideas are studied and commented upon. Undoubtedly, each thought of a poet contains enormous potential force, like the power confined in a piece of coal and in a living cell, but infinite more subtle, imponderable, and potent. Observe, for instance, the potential force that lies in the following significant words of the Buddha. This one is a very beautiful Dhammapada saying. Yeah? Who is good in Pali? Yeah? Anybody know how to pronounce Pali accurately? Nobody. MP not around. Huh? Mano pubagama dhamma. Then here they use the correct word mano. Mano seta, mano maya. Mind forerunns deep. Mind is chief, and mind make other. Now this one is the beginning verse of Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Mind make other. So when mind arises, everything arises. Mind or consciousness, according to Buddhism, arises as the very moment of conception, together with matter. Consciousness is therefore present in the fetus. This initial consciousness, technically known as rebirth consciousness or relinking consciousness, patisandhi vinyanam, is conditioned by past karma of the person concerned. The subtle mental, intellectual, and moral difference that existed among mankind are due to this karmic condition consciousness, the second factor of man. To complete the trio that constitute man, there is a third factor, the phenomena of life, that vitalizes both mind and matter. Due to the presence of life, reproduction becomes possible. Life manifests itself both in physical and mental phenomena. In Pali, the two forms of life are termed nama, jivitindriya, and rupa, jivitindriya. Psychic and physical life. Actually, it's just the, they call it the life force. The life force. Matter, mind, and life are therefore the three distinct factors that constitute man. With the combination of a powerful force known as man, with inconceivable possibility comes into being. He becomes his own creator and destroyer. In him are found a rubbish heap of evil and a storehouse of virtue. In him are found the worm, the brute, the man, the superman, the devas, the brahmas. Both criminal tendency and saintly characteristics are dormant in him. He may either be a blessing or a curse to himself and others. In fact, man is a world by himself. Whereas, is the second question, how did man originate? Okay, before we go into that, this author, he's trying to say a lot of things, but do you understand what he say? He like jump here, jump there, no conclusion. What you need to understand is this human being. That's why he didn't really finally explain what this human being is all about. But he did mention the three things, the three conditions. That animates a human being. It can be a human being or a living being. Do you know what are the three conditions? Just now he mentioned, but he didn't describe it. You cannot understand it so clearly. So what is a human being? So the human being, you have two parts, isn't it? One is the physical body. Body.
they called the rupang. Rupa. Yeah? Then the other one is the mind or consciousness. This one they call in Pali Nama. So this plus this Nama Rupa is the five aggregates of form and mind. Yeah. So the moment you are born, like you say, from the single cell, it subdivide. Yeah. Then this mind or consciousness that is inside the body, the first consciousness during conception or birth is just the rebirth consciousness. Based upon death, the death consciousness, straight away the rebirth consciousness is conditioned. It will go over. Yeah. Then after that, the death process occur. Then the random of consciousness come out. Okay. But during the conception, this one is just a single cell that it multiply. That's enough. Then the first thought is just a rebirth consciousness, pure. But it's connected to your karmic nature. Understand? That's why you are born of your karma, head to your karma condition, and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma. So that one has the karmic imprint. That's why your DNA, everything also have the karmic imprint from the karmic nature. Yeah. Then this one slowly develop into a fetus. Understand? Then it start to grow until 9 months, 10 months, the water bag burst, then birth. So when it's born, like the baby, no memory, nothing. It's actually in the state of pure awareness, which you're supposed to develop during meditation. Yeah. You can see things as they are, without word, without concept, without any memory, views, opinion, and condition. See things as they are. But that type of mind, no use. We don't have all the understanding of life. So the one that you have to develop through meditation on is, despite all the rubbish you carry in the memory, whatever scars of memory, fear, worry, anxiety, views, opinion, condition, are with all that thing, and yet you can silence your mind, meditate, and just see things as they are without this memory influencing what you see or condition you to react and to stir. And that is meditation. So what happened is, the single thought that first took conception, slowly it will grow. But before the baby is born, the fetus is born, it's still very pure. Your memory is still very pure. But as you are born into this world, as you grew up, what do you learn? They teach you language. They teach you all the whatever wrong thing. They say wrong thing is because the moment you are born, they give you a name. They tell you, you are so and so. Then birth cert. Then after that, go to school, IC. Grow up to 18 years old, can make passport, travel. They identify you. Then they give you your race, your religion, everything. They identify you. That's why the ego, the atta, the personality, all conditioned inside your memory. Then your memory become more and more sophisticated. Then depend on what religion you are in, your religious belief, your society's belief, your tradition, your race, your culture. So all this mold you. Then all the media, the newspaper, whatever you read, like now with the internet, you actually create a bundle of memory with views, opinion, and conditioning. So this consciousness from a single rebirth consciousness become more and more sophisticated, more and more what they call complex. Because all your trapped fear, scars of memory, your whatever life experience, good or bad, everything is inside that complex bundle of memory. And that is what your consciousness is all about. Do you understand? But these two alone, you cannot have life.
what you must have life is, after the fetus, the cells, the organs starts to develop in the conception of your mother's womb, you receive food from the mother's placenta. Understand? But there is this life force from your karmic force that will go and pump your heart. This one is the third condition, and this one is very important. So this one is 1, 2, 3. So these are the three conditions that animates a human being. So this one will only come in when your heart is developed. Understand? That's why after that only you can hear two heartbeats. Before that, no. Because the subdivision of the cell haven't developed the organ. So only when the heart is developed, then this life force come and it pump. It pump. Then this one creates the instrument for the human being to have life. So the heart will pump the blood. The blood will nourish the organ. That's how you become a human being, a living being. So these are the three things that sustain life. So what happened in life is, that's why this one is not permanent. It's condition arising, causal phenomenon. Because any of these three conditions not functioning, they say you are dead. Do you understand? So what happens if your physical body is damaged? Once this is damaged, what happens? Let's say your spinal cord, vital organ, accident or something happened. Then this physical body loses its ability to sustain itself on the cell, like heart attack. Okay? They cannot pump anymore. Or this life force, due to certain reason, they call it destructive karma. Destructive karma come means this life force also gone. When the heart doesn't pump, the blood doesn't flow, what happened? Brain dead. Then this consciousness has to come out. This is the complex consciousness that come out. It's the random of consciousness. You understand? This one doesn't die. But the separation of consciousness from the form, you say dead. You have no more heartbeat. Die already. Do you understand? So sometimes, the consciousness is there, the life force is there, but physical body already gone, destroyed. The vital, like your brain. That's why they lose their ability to identify themselves. Then a lot of function they cannot perform. Well, the brain is the one that is responsible for that thing. That's why you have the left brain, you got the right brain. And all those things. And once the memory is affected, this human being is also affected. Yeah. Then if the vital organ is gone, the life force that pump also no use. Yeah, it cannot nourish anymore, especially if you have cancer or whatever, traumatic disease. They go and chemo you until all your organs also like almost gone already. Yeah. That's why when a person is about to die, the first thing that start to fail are your vital organs. If your liver is affected very fast, you are gone. Heart attack also very fast. Then the others not so fast, like stroke and all those things. Sometimes they live very long too. But vital organ very fast, like spinal cord. The moment they hang you, finish, because this is the one that actually connect to your brain, and your brain is the one that give instruction and all those things to all this nervous system. Then there is this parasympathetic nerve that has a vibration, and that is the one that is responsible for life. To activate all the part and all those things. That's why when that one get into trouble, especially your spinal cord, sometimes slip disc or when the discs are not proper, it can cause you a lot of problem. Then you can lose your ability to function. So this is what the human being is all about, which the author didn't get to explain to you. Eh? Okay, what's the time now? How much time we have? 10 more minutes. Ah, okay, so we read on, eh? Then we try to finish the other part. Because the human being one is the most important. How did man originate? Eh? Who want to try? Eh? The origin of man. Were you created? Then how did you come into this world? Eh? How did man originate? Very easy. Eh? You need your parents. Without your parents, how do you come? But your parents also cannot decide who come. Your parents also must have coming affinity. You must have coming affinity with your parents. Your parents must have coming affinity with you. Some come to actually ask back for coming that. Understand? Some come because of filial piety. Some come because of good karmic past. You have been together for very long. Like the Buddha and his wife, Yasodhara. They have for many, many lives together. And the children too. And it seems they are top disciples too. There are many Jataka stories. They were born into the same family or they are cousins and all those things. So all this is related to karmic. So the origin of man is actually quite easy to understand because of the karmic and all those things. But there was a description, I think, I was told in the sutta about the first human being to appear on planet Earth. He was a Brahma. The Brahma, actually, they can come and go because they got this psychic ability. The four Brahma Vihara, and they developed jhanas. So it seems this Brahma came to this planet Earth long, long time ago, I think billions of years ago. They were fascinated by the plants, understand? The nature's plant and all those are very beautiful. So when they come, they will actually form rhyme, understand? Their senses are not developed because they are not from the sensual rhyme. Then it seems they stay here too long, understand? They develop the desire for the senses. Then after that, suddenly they realize they cannot return to their Brahma rhyme. That's how they get stuck here. That's how after that the human species starts to evolve. Then I think because of that, the other Brahma saw, scared, they not come down anymore. They all don't come. Then human beings starts to populate. And that is one of the story inside the Tipitaka. I was told by, I think, Chief Reverend, the late Chief Reverend, K. Sri Dhammananda, I think. It is described in the Sutta, the Tipitaka, it seems, but not important. Because everything evolve. Then there is this question of chicken and egg story. Which one comes first, the chicken or the egg? Don't go and waste your time. Because everything is dependent originating condition arising. So if you use your logical mind to try to answer, you will not be able to get the answer. Like the chicken and the egg story. You know what's the argument or not? People ask you, which one come first? Chicken come first or the egg come first? You say, without egg, how to have chicken? But without the chicken, how to hatch the egg? Understand? So a lot of people cannot understand. So, like human being, if you say it's created, then who created the creator? Because one thing will lead to another. So, just like the river, the river, let's say Mekong River or the Ganges River or our local river,
My state is Kedah, the Kedah River, or you Selangor River, Sungai Selangor. You ask yourself, do you need somebody to create the river? You don't need it. Then can you trace the source of the river? You cannot. Because all these river, they build up through what? Through a nature's process. We study geography. That's why as science student we know geography, you got catchment area. Catchment area, you know what is catchment area? Your topography, yeah? All the rain when they fall all over the place, correct or not? But then the catchment will catch them, understand? Then they will go down to the low point. You understand? Then all the tributaries, the small stream or whatever nature's water, they will go down to the small place and form a small stream. Understand? Then the small stream move further and receive more water from the other catchment, become a big stream, then become a river, then goes to the ocean. So there is no such thing as the source of the river. No, the whole catchment provides the water. And this water is continuous flow. That's why you say our mind is like that. It's flowing. You cannot dip into the water with the same experience for two consecutive times. You understand? But this water is flowing. Every time you dip your hand in, it's another condition. The water all different. Where it's moving, it's flowing. So you cannot be in the same place all the time. It is a moving one. So because of that, when you understand this, you know everything is condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent origin. That's why the Buddha is very wise. He saw this, and he introduced this teaching, Paticca Samuppada, dependent origination. You look at the world, you say, nothing is created. Everything arises on itself, depending on the condition, dependent originating naturally through a nature's process. You look at life. Are we created? No. Everything I saw in nature all naturally come about. No need creator to create. Do I need a creator to create my soul or create my consciousness? To allow me to see, to hear, to smell. If my organ is not in order, I cannot hear, I cannot see. These are all nature's conditions, senses, like the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up, you can become conscious. But if the light bulb got problem, it cannot light up. Understand? Like our eye got problem, seeing consciousness cannot come to be. If there is no energy, the switch not on, the battery don't have power, also, it cannot light up. Likewise, if the consciousness and the life force is not there, we cannot be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. The so-called human being cannot animate, cannot exist. So, all these three conditions are very vital, very important for our existence, our life. But this is not us, the Buddha said. This one is the five aggregate of form in mind, karmically conditioned. When the Heart Sutta book come out, I will teach you from beginning the two aspects of the five aggregate of form in mind. Then the meditation, the trinity, the triangle, how you develop the meditation. How from the pure consciousness you start. And before you come, there is another nature, the oneness nature, the source of all things. From there, the first thing that come out is the pure awareness, then the mundane mind, then the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's how life and existence comes to be. But without the form and mind from the coming nature, you cannot link back to the pure awareness, your true mind, your true nature. Then without that form and mind, you also cannot cease and return to the oneness. Or the original, the source of all things, which is the unconditioned Nibbana. So all this, I will share with you and teach you, so that when you understand, you can meditate more easily, and you can understand who are you, what are you. Then all the questions this author asks, you can answer them, Yeah, he himself don't quite understand. That's why he tell you all the knowledge that he has picked up from all the various books, but no conclusion on. He cannot explain to you all this thing. So because of that, when you develop the understanding, you meditate, you can actually put it to test and confirm it for yourself. Well, if it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. Okay? Okay, we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merit, transfer merit, then we will end. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana etta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo devo asatukalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Ibina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.